Blog Talk Radio.
Cowards try to change our lives, change the things they despise in America. But heroes, fueled by freedom, that unalienable right to be, came to rescue the injured, rescue the innocent, rescue these truths we hold to be.
Good afternoon to all of you. Jason Hawes back here on American Faith Today on this June day, June 18th, 2016. And since I did it last month on Mother's Day weekend, I almost didn't forget, but as I was thinking about starting the show and everything that I was going to talk about during the day, I almost forgot about this being Father's Day weekend. So very, very bad on me, but since I did it for Mother's Day weekend, certainly want to wish all of the dads, including my dad, I don't know if he's listening right now or not, but all of the dads out there, a very happy Father's Day for tomorrow and a very happy Father's Day weekend. Although, when I was leaving work last night, the guy that I was closing with told me to have a good weekend because, obviously, I don't work today. He actually was working today, and I wouldn't see him again, though, until Monday. So he told me to have a good weekend and said, I would tell you to have a happy Father's Day, but I don't think you have any kids, which he was completely right on, and he said I was one of the lucky ones. So I think he was a little bit upset with his one son. In fact, I know he was a little bit upset with his one son this week when he had not mowed the grass at home that apparently was getting a little bit tall, which reminds me I actually have to mow mine this weekend, I suppose, sometime. I did not mow last weekend. It's been kind of hot, actually really hot, and kind of dry here, so the grass really didn't grow last week, and it hasn't grown a whole lot even this week, but I probably should mow it, especially the landlord/landlady would probably like it if I did that. So that'll be a task for this weekend, among other things. But anyway, hope it's been a good week for you. Kind of a run-of-the-mill week for me. When you do a show just once a week, rather than every day or a few times a week, then everything kind of lumps together and runs together. I did get home again last night from work, and I look in my mailbox, and I have an envelope from my city's income tax department, and I'm thinking, oh, no. This was the first year, by the way, that I actually did my taxes on my own, so to speak. I'm certainly not a tax expert, a CPA, anything of that ilk, and thank God for that, you know. But anyway, I did it online because I'm somewhat of a procrastinator, and I really don't have a lot of time during the day or during the week to get much of anything done either. When you do work 6 days a week and your one day off being Saturday, when many places are obviously closed and even more places closed on Sunday sometimes, but there's really not a lot that I can get done during the week, especially, you know, working all day, going in sometimes 8, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning and getting off 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the afternoon. That pretty much, of course, takes up the whole entire day. But I did it online, and it wasn't super complicated, but it was a little more complicated this year than it had been in past years. So I was hoping that, especially when it comes to federal, that nothing will come back to bite me. But I got a very weird letter from the city income tax department, which has always been kind of the bugaboo or the little bit the outlier or a little bit of pain in the neck. Even when I had my taxes done by a professional, sometimes the city tax department here would dispute something, and I'd wind up owing a little bit of money that my tax preparer said I didn't owe, or wound up owing more than he said. But I got a note saying that they looked at my income tax return and corrected something on it, and the note literally said, please pay by June 28th to avoid any further interest and penalties. Please pay $0.00. So I'm going to have to call or stop into the income tax department here in town probably Monday when they're open again and investigate that. If it is $0.00, I will happily tell them that, yes, indeed, I will pay you absolutely nothing. Do I need to make a special physical appearance in front of you to say, yes, I will abide by your request and pay you nothing? But kind of a strange little deal there. But anyway, like I said, hope you've had a fantastic week. And I hope especially fathers and everyone, really, not just fathers, but that you are enjoying your weekend, that you enjoy tomorrow and the remainder of your weekend as well. I wanted to talk today, and the chat room, by the way, is of course open. The call-in line also, if you are listening live and if you want to call in, that is 347-989-8387. I wanted to talk today various parts of this shooting, which of course I am about a week behind, which again happens when you do a show typically only once a week. With the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando, Florida. And let me get this conspiracy theory stuff out of the way first, because if you listen to this show, if you've listened to me, many times you'll hear me kind of warning against falling for every conspiracy theory or jumping down every conspiracy rabbit hole. And although I'll tell you, there's people that I respect. There's fellow Christians. There's fellow Christians who are students with Shepherd's Chapel who view many of these shootings and many of these events as false flags. And I'll tell you, if you've got these people out there, if you've got enough time to literally track the movements of all these people and all these so-called crisis actors, I haven't checked out all the theories, all the claims, and all the videos on why the Pulse nightclub shooting was allegedly a false flag, but one of them looked like, look at this woman, it's the same woman that's been at these other places, look at the tattoos on her arm, they're the same tattoos. I've seen people say, look at the facial hair on this guy, look at this guy's ears, it's the same guy. If you've got enough time to devote to that, more power to you. Because personally, I do not, or I certainly at least choose not to have enough time to delve into that. But one thing I will say, and look, there is a fine line that I don't know if you want to say we must straddle, a fine line that we shouldn't cross. There's a line in there somewhere, because I do believe, as a Christian, I believe, among other things, I believe that there is, and whatever you want to call them, I refer to them in different ways, by different terms, depending on who's listening at a given time, whether you want to call them Kenites, whether you want to call them children of the devil, whether you want to call them Illuminati, NWO, bankers, whatever you want to call them, I do believe there is a group of men, a group of people who manipulate things, manipulate events, manipulate people, manipulate governments, and control all these things behind the scenes, and they have a fair bit of control. You know, they have as much control as God will allow them to have, basically. And so I believe that those people exist. And I believe that with some of these stories that we've had, some of these shootings, there have been inconsistencies. You know, you look at, I believe, the mass shooting in Paris, and you look at the San Bernardino shooting last year. And in both cases, you had supposed eyewitness accounts saying that they had two or three tall, white, athletic-looking men shooting at people, and then by the end of things, it was Middle Eastern people who were to blame. And certainly we have radical Islamic terror that is a concern, that is a problem. We have ISIS that is a concern, that is a problem. But again, San Bernardino, supposedly two or three white men, tall white men shooting at people, and then one of the perpetrators by the end winds up being a rather short Middle Eastern woman. So there are inconsistencies. And, you know, there are so many of these shootings now. Case in point, there have been, from an article that I found written last year, and it's been at several different places on the internet. This happens to be wearechange.org. I give no endorsement of the website. I just happened to find this. But by Jeffrey Phillips, written last December, asking why have there been more mass shootings under Obama than the previous four presidents combined? And also you have this article from the Los Angeles Times that basically tracks and gives account for the 10 worst mass shootings in U.S. history or in recent history in terms of loss of life. And six out of the 10, including number one on the list now with the Pulse nightclub, but six out of the 10 have occurred under President Obama's little reign of terror, if you will. And I do believe that the world is getting worse. I do believe that people are falling deeper and deeper into sin as I believe we get closer and closer to the arrival of Antichrist and the return of Jesus Christ, in that order, by the way. But I do believe things are getting worse and worse. But, you know, you do have to ask as well, why are there so many mass shootings now? And I do understand. I do at least understand the conspiracy theorist mindset out there that says, well, you know, these could be orchestrated to try to make a move to disarm the people. Because it really doesn't make any sense, or much sense, even as bad as the world is getting, even as less secure as we are both at home and around the world, even as, of course, the Middle East, even more of a dumpster fire than it was before Obama took office and before Hillary Clinton took office as Secretary of State and before, obviously, now John Kerry as Secretary of State. But it's still, there's not much of a rational, there's no rational basis to this to begin with. But you do ask yourself why. You know, what's the motivation? Islamic terror certainly is something that can be pointed to. But mass shootings, for whatever the reason, and you can come up with your own theory to explain it, but mass shootings certainly have skyrocketed under President Obama. And, you know, at the same time, one of the things I don't really want to go here because I don't want to, even though I obviously don't agree with them, I don't want to kick a people while they're down right now, so to speak. But one of the things that bothers me on some level, you know, I see just a few random things I've seen over on the internet since this, apparently World Trade Center, one World Trade Center, the new World Trade Center building had a rainbow-themed light display at the top of one World Trade Center. Also, I saw where France, I don't know if this was simply an online thing, but France was saying that the United States was there for them during their bout with Islamic terror, and they were going to be here for us, and you had a rainbow flag in this picture. And I've seen where Facebook has now, one of my Facebook friends, who I love dearly, I mean, I love her dearly, a very good Christian young woman, changed her Facebook profile, and I'm not judging her, obviously, changed her Facebook profile to where basically it's got kind of a rainbow oriented display or background. I don't know if you want to call it a background, a wallpaper, whatever. I don't know how I should properly term that, but basically a rainbow type appearance to her Facebook page or Facebook profile. Apparently something saying that you can support GLAAD, the gay, lesbian, against defamation or whatever it is, Alliance Against Defamation, I believe. You can support GLAAD by doing that on Facebook, which I'm sorry, my sympathy and so forth goes out, my prayers go out, but I'm certainly not going to support GLAAD because of this. But anyway, with that said, and I don't want to leave this out or I don't want to forget this, when talking about the left's move to obviously demonize the gun, which they always do in these instances, in these shootings, apparently a gun decided to sprout legs, sprout feet, sprout a will of its own, and decided to go in and shoot 100-plus people at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida. And, you know, you've got all sorts of talk of new legislation. You've got now the Senate apparently is, after the Democrats filibustered, the Senate apparently will hear arguments for new so-called solutions to limit the rights of American citizens to obtain guns, to obtain firearms. And, you know, I was thinking too about all these mass shootings, about all the conspiracy theories that are out there, that are generated. And we do have to at least keep in mind, or we do at least have to acknowledge that we do have right now the most anti-gun president, probably, I wouldn't say probably, but definitely of our lifetime. I was thinking back to a quote from an economist and an author when I did an internet search on this quote. John Lott Jr., he is an economist and, again, an author. This from 2013 at CNSNews.com. At the time, he'd just written a book called At the Brink. But he and President Obama both worked together at one time at the University of Chicago, and they apparently had numerous discussions about guns in America. And this was the quote that I recalled Obama telling John Lott Jr., quote, "I don't believe people should be able to own guns." And Lott then suggested that they have lunch one day to discuss their views on guns. According to Lott, Obama grimaced and turned away, and Lott said that was the way many conversations with Obama ended. He also said that Obama preferred silent, scowling disdain to collegiality. But anyway, he points out here, and this article points out, the record of Barack Obama, you know, this is his voting record before he was actually a senator, at least on two of these instances, and certainly before he was president of the United States. For instance, in 1998, I'll get the easy one out of the way. In 1998, he supported a ban on the sale of all semi-automatic guns, which a lot of people on the left would say, so what? We should do that. Well, okay, let's say that you believe that we should do that. But in 1996, he supported a ban on handguns, not on assault rifles, not on automatic weapons, not on semi-automatic weapons, but on simple handguns. He supported that ban in 1996. In 2004, he advocated banning gun sales within 5 miles of a school or park, which would have effectively shut down nearly all gun stores. So this is without a doubt a very radically anti-gun president. But, you know, it's very interesting when you've got somebody out there like, I posted this on the American Faith Today Facebook page earlier this week. You've got Chuck Schumer, the Democratic, either the Senate Democrat leader, either majority or minority, depending on how things turn out this election, but the Senate Democrat leader in wait, apparently, once Harry Reid is gone. You've got Chuck Schumer and you've got Dianne Feinstein, who, of course, has always been anti-gun, despite either having guns herself or certainly having people around her, bodyguards and so forth, with guns. But they basically have, I believe it's mostly Feinstein and Schumer was basically voicing his support for it, have said that if the FBI views you as being suspicious, if the FBI has you on some kind of a list, and certainly what we're hearing right now, terror watch list and so forth, which even Donald Trump, of course, has come out and said, if anybody's on the terror watch list, should not be able to get a firearm. But basically this bill saying that if the FBI thinks you're suspicious for any reason, then you should not be able to get a gun. Well, for crying out loud, the FBI interviewed Omar Mateen on 3 separate occasions, and here's where the left has their big problem with this. They interviewed Omar Mateen on 3 separate occasions. They wound up concluding, despite the fact that from what we have read and from what we have learned, there was certainly very good reason to be concerned with Omar Mateen. But at some point along the way, they concluded that there really wasn't a reason to be concerned with Omar Mateen. And we even heard that they were investigating, I believe, his mosque, or some of the mosques in the area that might be radical in nature. And it was Hillary Clinton's State Department that ordered them or advised them to stop doing that. So how in the world, in this age of political correctness, and this is what the government does. This is what the government does when they try to so-called protect minorities and be politically correct and make sure that they're not profiling against Muslims or what have you, they wind up almost discriminating against and profiling against anyone who is not a Muslim or someone that they're trying to protect. So how in the world, in this age of political correctness, is the FBI even going to function in the way that they should be able to do something like that? And again, it's just on the heels of the FBI either dropping the ball or being told or being made or being forced to drop the ball on Omar Mateen, you've got Dianne Feinstein saying that the FBI should be the ones to decide whether or not you are of stable mind, body, and spirit to be able to obtain a firearm. This political correctness, by the way, has gotten so ridiculously bad and just continues to get worse and worse. Don't know if you heard about this or not, but from the freebeacon.com, Washington Free Beacon, Homeland Security Report now calls for rejecting terms jihad and sharia, among others. The Homeland Security Department of Homeland Security, apparently so concerned that our young, impressionable millennial minds will be turned into this what they call this us versus them mentality. They don't want us to get into this us versus them mentality. Isn't it already an us versus them, or maybe a them versus us mentality in their own mindset, in the mindset of ISIS, in the mindset of a radical Islamic terrorist, of Islamic extremist? Isn't it already a them versus us mindset? But we don't want to get into the us versus them mindset, according to the Department of Homeland Security. They want to shun Islamic language and, quote, countering violent extremism programs, or CVE, the Obama administration's euphemism that seeks to avoid references to Islam. They're saying that American English should be used instead of religious, legal, and cultural terms like jihad, sharia, takfir, and ummah, or ummah, states the June 2016 report. Jihad, of course, the Islamic concept of holy war. Also, sharia law, the anti-democratic Islamic supremacist legal code that critics say has prevented U.S. Muslims from assimilating into American society. Takfir, the Arabic term for apostasy, and ummah, the word used to describe the entire Muslim community. But, you know, the Department of Homeland Security now saying that you can't call things what they are, and you can't use these dirty, filthy, religious Islamic terms, because I don't know. I mean, how do you even figure these people out? You know, calling these things what they are alerts people to the reality before them, alerts people to the problems that we face and the dangers that we face, rather than trying to stick our heads in the sand and trying to be, you know, it's one of two things. It's either, and neither one is good. It's either literally conspiring with the enemy to protect them and to enable them and to even help advance what they want to do, or it's this paralyzed Stockholm Syndrome type fear that has gripped, of course, much of Europe and has destroyed in some ways much of Europe. But anyway, getting on again to about Mateen, some of the things that we learned. This from endoftheamericandream.com, Michael Snyder, one of his websites. 17 facts about the Orlando shooter that everyone should know. According to the director of the FBI, Mateen had links to Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, and the Islamic State. His father has openly expressed support for the Taliban on YouTube. Apparently, he tried to run for president of Afghanistan or something like that as well. Despite those links to terror organizations, Mateen was allowed to work as a security guard at a local courthouse. And again, the FBI knowing this, and again, I can't emphasize enough, Dianne Feinstein and Chuck Schumer saying that they should be the basically the sole decider in many cases of whether or not a citizen should be able to get a firearm. Mateen also worked for the largest security services company in the world. And the security services company, by the way, which I don't know if I mentioned them by name, but G4S, the security services company that as mentioned a week or two ago on this show, is right now or has been in the process of transporting illegal aliens, not back across the border, but at to wherever they happen to drop them off to throughout the country. Under contract by the United States government, by the way, to do that right now. And it is mentioned here by Snyder that G4S works very closely with Homeland Security, the U.S. Army, federal and local law enforcement. You have Mateen's ex-wife saying that he would repeatedly beat her while they were married. And apparently he started to become radicalized after separating from his first wife. His first wife said that he didn't show much interest in religion. But in 2011 and 2012, he made pilgrimages to Saudi Arabia. He claimed to know, personally know, the Boston Marathon bombers. Again, according to the FBI, Mateen had been on the radar before, interviewed by them three separate times, and they conducted a 10-month investigation of his activities in 2013. He was described as being unhinged and unstable by his former co-workers. At least one of his co-workers identified him as a racist, as a bigot, whatever, and reported it to his superiors. And they decided, well, we can't discriminate against him. We can't profile against him. He's a Muslim, so basically we can't fire him. Mateen once declared, apparently, that he hoped to martyr himself someday, and allegedly the FBI knew all about this. Let him go. Again, this is the, I can't emphasize enough, this is, and look, you know, certainly we don't, the FBI doing its job correctly, we don't have a problem with that. But with the way the FBI, again, mishandled or was made to mishandle this, and again, with the political correctness, this is the organization that Feinstein, Schumer, many Democrats want to have deciding who gets a gun and who doesn't get a gun. But anyway, federal government knew about Mateen. He was still permitted to legally buy guns just last week. A respected Islamic scholar was urging Muslims in Orlando to, quote, get rid of homosexuals just a couple of months before this shooting took place. Hillary Clinton's State Department, again, shut down an investigation of the mosque that Mateen attends because it unfairly singled out Muslims. And apparently Mateen called 911 to swear his allegiance to ISIS. Also, I saw he called a news station and swore his allegiance to ISIS as well. But, you know, a lot of obviously red flags that should have been picked up on and one way or another were just completely rejected, completely dropped, completely forgotten about. And we saw what the result was, unfortunately, with the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando. Now, one of the more mystifying, bewildering, and sickening things that the left, some on the left, are trying to do in the face of what was clearly a radical Islamist, they are trying to connect this to Christianity. From thechristianpost.com, CP Politics, David French, who at one time it looked like was possibly going to run for president. Liberals using Orlando shooting to, quote, ignite war on Christianity. French was talking about, I'll be running the risk of running short on time here, so I have to be selective in what I share or what I read, but it's kind of a good quote, so I'll go ahead and kind of a good point that French makes. The principles, such as they exist, seem to be this. If you oppose same-sex marriage or mixed-gender bathrooms, then you not only can't legitimately grieve the loss of gay lives, you're possibly or partially, responsible for the massacre in Indiana or in Orlando. I'm trying to go too quickly here. Never mind that all the actual evidence in the case points to Islamic motivations extrapolated from well-known and widely shared interpretations of Sharia law. Somehow those darn Baptists are to blame. And he goes on to say that, you know, can we blame Barack Obama, who for several years claimed to be against same-sex marriage? Can we blame Hillary Clinton, who for several years claimed to be against same-sex marriage? Can we blame Bill Clinton, who signed the Defense of Marriage Act, and say that they're all partially responsible for the Orlando shooting? Now, the New York Times wrote an editorial saying, quote, hate crimes don't happen in a vacuum. They occur where bigotry is allowed to fester, where minorities are vilified, and where people are scapegoated for political gain. They then go on to say, and basically just indict their own selves. Tragically, this is the state of American politics, driven too often by Republican politicians who see prejudice as something to exploit, not extinguish. So in other words, they're being single-handed in their criticism of the Republicans And while other people are out there, which I'll get to here, are out there criticizing Christians and not even seeing their own hypocrisy. Chase Strangio, an attorney with the ACLU, blamed Mateen's rampage on the Christian right, claiming that they, quote, created this anti-queer climate. He said, you know what is gross? Your thoughts and prayers and Islamophobia after you created this anti-queer climate, saying the Christian white right has introduced 200 anti-LGBT bills in the last 6 months, and people are blaming Islam for this because he swore allegiance to ISIS. That's why people are blaming Islam for this, you goofball. But, you know, this isn't even the only person out there taking shots at Christians and trying to say that it's Christian hate that has fermented all of this, that has led to this. You also have, from CBNNews.com, Diane Black, a House representative from Tennessee, who wrote an op-ed on townhall.com pointing out that you had a CNN contributor who used the tragedy to denounce right-wing Christians. Again, the ACLU lawyer who blamed the attack on legislation related to marriage and religious liberty. A cable television host shamed those who called for prayer in the week of such tragedies, dismissing it as, quote, talking to nobody, and congressional Democrats. Where's the New York Times, by the way, going, where are they criticizing this? Congressional Democrats walked out during a moment of silence to honor the Orlando victims. But, of course, it's all the Republicans' fault. And, hey, look, I'm not necessarily the biggest believer, biggest defender of certainly every Republican out there. But, again, when someone is so blatantly one-sided, the media, so blatantly one-sided, so blatantly hypocritical that will call out, Republicans playing politics but won't call out, that I know of anyway, won't call out literally Democrats walking out during a moment of silence to honor the Orlando victims. Now, if they did call that out, then I would apologize and say good for them. But, again, obviously the agenda, it's the New York Times. Most of us know what the agenda is here. And at the same time, just as quickly as I can, Christina Grimmie, who was murdered in Orlando, former Voice alum or Voice contestant, singer, Christina Grimmie, murdered in Orlando, a day or two before this? It's now, from the Santa Monica Observer, it's being theorized that the reason that Christina Grimmie was murdered was because she was such an outspoken Christian. Apparently, the guy who murdered her, Kevin James Loibel, was obviously a nut, but apparently, from various postings online, he was quite upset with her profession of her Christian faith. Apparently, the guy actually wanted to do a mass shooting himself, but Christina Grimmie's brother literally wrestled him to the ground, and then he killed himself. But it's basically being theorized that he went after Christina Grimmie because she was a Bible-believing, faithful Christian. And by the way, from this article, now this is take it with a grain of salt. This is unfortunately you have to, again, I'm not going to say take people at their word, obviously, but it's not evidence that is out there for everybody to dissect and to be able to see, but there's a person mentioned in this article who claims to have screenshots, showing that the man who killed Christina Grimmie and Oscar Mateen were Facebook friends. And apparently, Kevin Loibel only had like 3 Facebook friends listed, and one of them was, I said Oscar Mateen, didn't I? One of them was Omar Mateen. So, whether there was a connection there or not, apparently there was, at least allegedly, an online a social media connection, and then you look across the world. You had three Christian, from ChristianHeadlines.com, you had three Christian missionaries that have gone missing in the Middle East. They were working to distribute Bibles, apparently attacked by Muslim extremists, and have now gone missing. And then also in Bangladesh, thousands arrested in Bangladesh crackdown after gruesome murders of Christians and others. They arrested more than 5,000 suspected militants after dozens of brutal killings of Christians, atheists, and others, many hacked down by men on motorcycles using machetes and swords. More than 80 of those arrested are believed to be Islamic extremists. So, I mean, and we know this. We know that in the Middle East in particular, Christians are at risk every single day, in many parts of that part of the world, every single day, every waking moment. They are at risk, literally, for their life in the face of radical Muslims. And yet, here in this country, after a radical Muslim shot up a gay nightclub, you got some on the left who want to say, well, it's the Christian hate. It's the anti-queer Christian religious environment that has created all this. Go on with your stupid, silly, nonsensical narrative. Apparently, that's all you have. Now, again, just to close here, what are some of the differences? Look, I don't necessarily have to go over this so much. We know what radical Islam feels about homosexuality. You've seen or you've heard about ISIS throwing homosexuals off of buildings. And, you know, when you get into the Quran, and I probably ought to make it a goal to actually read the Quran one day, but when you get into some of the Quran, much of it does borrow from the Bible. Of course, much of it probably twists the Bible. But it's not so much the Quran, maybe, just reading these verses. Although, you know, there's parts of it that maybe there is some stuff there, but it's more the Hadith, which was a collection of the writings and deeds of Muhammad that really gets into the rabid, you know, kill homosexuals. Some of these writings from the Hadith, the Messenger of Allah said, whoever you find doing the action of the people of Lot, execute the one who does it and the one to whom it is done. If a man who is not married is seized committing sodomy, he will be stoned to death. You also have instances in which, of course, homosexuals were burned, in which homosexuals had walls dropped on them, in which homosexuals were thrown off of buildings, off of towers, and what have you. I mean, again, I'll have it on the Facebook page, but many of you, it doesn't even need to be mentioned. You know very well what the situation is there. Again, an imam at a Florida mosque, invited to speak at a Florida mosque, 2016, said that killing gays was, quote, an act of compassion. Now, you contrast that with with Christianity. And, yes, you do have the verse Leviticus 20:13, in which it said if people were caught in the act of homosexual acts, that you did kill them. Now, that was the civil law in Israel at that time. I will say that God certainly hasn't changed his opinion or his view on the unnatural aspect of homosexuality, but there is forgiveness now when one does turn from that. When one does repent, and when one does have a changed heart and a renewed mind through the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And from a website, and even just reading here from the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Now, this speaks to homosexuals, sodomites, if you will, when you talk about abusers of themselves with mankind. And it goes on to list some others, but then in verse 11, and such were some of you. In other words, some of you used to do that. Some of you used to be that, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And don't let anyone ever tell you that God, that Jesus Christ, cannot change a person, cannot even change a homosexual. It is here in the Word of God. There are many testimonies from people who were changed by God's power, by